bit of a dancing maybe this weekend for you guys? Going to have a Kentucky Derby dancing party? I know some people that are going to have a Kentucky Derby party. That would be fun, would it not? Bring the horses? Anyway, that's Chubby Checker telling us to party tonight. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis. Thanks for joining us. It's Friday, September the 4th. I guess you call it Labor Day weekend. What do you do on Labor Day weekend? You know, it's a funny name, isn't it? Because you don't hardly do any labor. You kind of just take it easy. Maybe it should be Take It Easy Weekend. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Luke Wake of the Pacific Legal Foundation. We're going to talk about why he feels governors should not have unchecked authority during this pandemic. You know, what can they close off everything in the whole state? We're going to talk about that. And is Donald Trump lawyering up in case this election does not go his way? And why does he urge the people of North Carolina to vote twice? Twice. We're going to get some thoughts about all of this from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, the only poll that counts, Andrew Ceraci, a little later in the show. And what do you think is the most hated state in the country, if you could measure it? Well, the only way you could measure it, by the number of people that are leaving. So we're going to tell you what that state is. Indeed. And also, in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 fastest growing jobs in the country. Fastest growing jobs. Stay tuned for that. By the way, we're sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys got to get your Labor Day haircut, don't you? You want to look pretty on Labor Day, Monday. So get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It's just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. You got to call first, 727-733-3773. 733-3773. Well, would you believe it that the election voting actually is beginning somewhere? North Carolina. Yes, indeed. This is what, September the 4th? The 2020 presidential election kicks off today as North Carolina begins mailing in their ballots to more than 600,000 people that asked for them. Now, in this case, these people requested their ballots. These are not ballots that have just been sent out by the state to everybody that they think is located everywhere. And so this makes the start of the sprint to November, which is, by the way, only 2 months away, almost exactly 2 months away. So we're going to get a taste of what's going on. We will not know, of course, what these people will have decided. Those votes will not be announced or counted or made public or whatever until the election day itself. Now, we've already had all kinds of comments. You know what Donald Trump had said. He says that people should actually, in North Carolina, to ensure that their vote is counted, even if they have been involved in some sort of mail vote by mail thing, go to the poll and vote again. I'm not so sure that's a good idea. Here's a thought, though, from Howard Kurtz. Now, Howard Kurtz does commentary on Fox News when it comes to the media and how the media treats politicians. Boy, that is a full-time job these days, is it not? And especially how the media treats Trump. Well, we already know how the media treats Trump. They stomp on him. Most all of them, do they not? Anyway, Kurtz asks, why did the president, in broad daylight with cameras rolling, suggest North Carolinians vote twice? He knew full well that this would cause a media freakout, that the pundits would rise up in unison, denounce him for promoting such a blatantly illegal act. And that was precisely the point. Had Trump merely issued his 130th warning about mail ballot fraud, it would not have made much news. maybe one paragraph, but he knows from experience that when he crosses the line and goes over the top, the resulting furor can go for several days, so he gets all that press. He'll take the heat. If he has to backtrack, so be it. It still means a lot of cable segments and front page stories about the possibility of mail fraud, as opposed to, say, 1,000 people dying each day from COVID-19. This is Howard Kurtz, by the way, speaking. I'm reading his little article from Fox News. He says, now, I'm not defending the outrageous suggestion that Americans test the system by voting twice. I just don't think Trump is serious. He has a well-established pattern of saying questionable things to push a broader narrative, in some cases admitting privately that he's changing the subject from some other controversy. He's trolling the press. And then he'll come back later and he'll say, well, I didn't really mean that you vote twice and that the votes get counted twice, right? He'll just say that he wants to ensure that one of your votes gets counted. I'm going back now to the Kurtz article. He says, here is the exact words Trump said. Well, they'll go out and they'll vote, and they're going to have to go and check their vote by going to the poll and voting that way, because if it tabulates, then they won't be able to do that. And that's what he said, the end of sentence. Then he goes on. So, let them send it in and let them go vote. And if the system is as good as they say it is, obviously they won't be able to vote. If it isn't tabulated, they'll be able to vote. So that's the way it is, and that's what they should do. So if you try to follow his logic, Trump's logic, somehow if you go in North Carolina to the poll, or anywhere, I guess, where there's mail-in voting, and you can ensure by voting again in the poll. Now, what if they stop you and they say, you know, at the table, you know, when you come in, wait a second, it shows here you've already been sent a vote. Didn't you mail it in? And you'll say, yes, I mailed it in.
Just testing you.
Well, and they'll say, well, you can't go into that little curtain booth over there and make a vote, you know? And then you say, well, how do I know you're going to count my mail-in vote? And now what are you doing? You're clogging up the line because you're arguing with the poor guy that's sitting at the table. I don't know. I think it was kind of dumb. That's me saying that. But we're going to talk a little further later with Andrew. I'm sure Andrew will say that. Now, just think, though. What if Biden had said that? If Biden had said, hey, look, I want you guys to go to the poll and vote a second time because I'm not sure. Trump might do something with those mail-in votes. I'm going to ask Andrew how he would respond to that.
First of all, Biden could get not that many words out. There's no way.
Possibly not. Now, why does he keep that mask on? Is it because when he makes mistakes, you won't understand him?
I think all his responses are probably recorded and played back, and he's just moving his mouth underneath the mask.
You know, you brought that up before, and I'm beginning to think you might be right, which is kind of scary. But that could be. Maybe it's on some sort of a tape, and he's just, and you can't tell because he's got that mask on. And I think we're getting a little strange here. So let's do this. Let's take our break. And when we come back, Luke Wake is going to join us. We're going to talk about the authority of the governors during the pandemic.
Return to sender. I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys.
That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hit the road, Jack. Hey, we are back on a Friday prior to Labor Day. Labor Day weekend is about to spring upon us. Delighted to have Luke Wake join us. He is an attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation, and he has penned a piece in The Hill, Why Governors Should Not Have Unchecked Emergency Powers. Luke, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. I think this is a very, very interesting topic. I'm not sure I will agree with you on 100% of this, but you do say that we are seeing some continuing autocratic rule by governors with no end in sight during this pandemic. I guess we have to worry about whether or not, in a timely fashion, whatever the governor decrees in terms of the entire state, perhaps should have a backup check with the legislature. But maybe in some cases, you just have to make a quick decision. Your thought on that?
Well, look, the reality is emergencies happen. And so we do need, the state does need to be able to respond quickly, say when a hurricane is coming. The legislature doesn't have time to convene and decide every little aspect about how evacuation should proceed and that sort of thing. But we do know that we do need to have plans in place for emergencies. And Florida, for example, has an Emergency Management Act that does it identifies a menu of options that the Governor DeSantis can take during an emergency. But the issue that I really honed in on in this editorial you mentioned is that DeSantis, as well as a lot of other governors throughout the country, have basically asserted powers that go beyond the authority that they've either been expressly given by statute, or that they've just asserted an open-ended authority to make rules in whatever fashion they might like. And the issue there is that the state constitution of Florida, as well as most every other state constitution, says that the lawmaking power is vested in the legislative branch of government, the legislature, not in the executive. The governor has the power to execute the laws that the legislature makes, but they can't just give him a blank check to just do whatever he wants and make law in whatever way he wants.
Right. Now, taking, for instance, the issue of schools as an example. Now, we're in the midst of a pandemic. We don't know when the pandemic is going to end. Certain rules and regulations and governors get involved in deciding whether or not, in some cases, the schools are going to open. And in other cases, the governors are perhaps leaving it to some of the school districts or the local counties. Would that be, in your opinion, something that the governors should keep their hands off of? Should this be something that, like, the unions and the local school districts battle out on? Or what is your thought on the schools?
Well, I strongly suspect the unions are playing a heavy hand in these deliberations wherever they're happening, both at the local districts and at the state level in a lot of places. I'm in California, where you know, I'm currently paying for private school to homeschool my daughter right now because we're not allowed to operate at the private schools, but the public schools are closed as well. And I'm sure that's the case in a lot of states.
Now, may I ask you, Luke, is that a local decision?
No, that is state-imposed from Governor Newsom out here.
Governor Newsom blanketed the entire state with this ruling about the schools.
Close. He basically he set up he's created a whole sort of system whereby he classifies different counties and different risk levels and says if the county is a purple county or a red county, they're not allowed to operate in school in person at education. And so by default that covers most of the state. And so look, going back to my point a moment ago, if the statute that the legislature has passed has directly said one of the things the governor can do is suspend in-person education, well then that would be something he can do. But but a lot of times with this sort of order you're talking about, there's nothing precisely saying that. The governors are just asserting sort of a general emergency power to make up rules in whatever way they think appropriate. And again, and this doesn't happen, by the way, with any sort of deliberative process and transparent process the way it does in a legislative convening. These guys have had since March. There's some sort of argument that that someone has to do something in an emergency, and so we can be maybe a little bit forgiving for what happened at the very outset back in March and April when we were all just sort of reacting. But as time progresses, the argument that just expediency justified the orders we were getting diminishes because the legislature has had time to do something. I mean, it's been since March. We actually brought a lawsuit at Pacific Legal Foundation against the California Judicial Council, which basically sets the rules of court in California. They had issued an emergency order suspending eviction hearings in the state. And we brought a lawsuit on behalf of some landlords who wanted to get rid of tenants who were causing a lot of problems, causing a lot of complaints, and also just not paying rent. And in response, the Judicial Council rescinded the rule. And the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court, actually, when this happened, said, look, the legislature's had since March to sort out what the policy should be with regard to, evictions and that sort of matter. And it's not for the courts to be making up the rules. Well, the same goes for the executive branch. It's not for the governors to be making up rules. If they can point to some specific statutory authorization that they have, then you can say, well, the legislature actually said they could do this. But and the other thing, I'm talking to a lot of affected small businesses right now. They're shut down or on the verge of going bankrupt, and they keep telling me, look, if I have a problem with some law that the legislature is entertaining that's going to put me out of business or going to really hurt me, I know how to talk to my legislature. I know how to get a hold of them. They don't know how to get a hold of Governor Newsom or Governor DeSantis.
Right. We're talking with Luke Wake. He is an attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation, and he's wrote a very interesting piece in The Hill, Why Governors Should Not Have Unchecked Emergency Powers. And I've thought about this. I think a lot of people have, Luke. Even President Trump has, let's face it, said, I'm going to go in and do this, or I'm going to go in and do that if this state doesn't do this, or this state doesn't do that. And I think to myself, well, wait a second. You can't do that. The governors have control. Now, it may not even be about the pandemic. Maybe it's about the rioting. But let's say it's about the pandemic, you can't do, and we want to bring government down to the as close as we can to the people. That was the whole concept of our Constitution, to give the federal government very limited power, give state governments a little bit more power, and then give local governments even more power. So here we are with the governor versus, I guess, local governments and local entities. I'm looking at what happened with Nancy Pelosi. Now, is that a Governor Newsom decision? You can't go in and get your hair done?
So, actually, until very recently in California, the governor's orders prohibited hair salons from operating indoors. He did on Friday last week change that to allow indoor haircuts to happen. But
Oh, really?
You know, if you're running a gym, or if you're running a nail salon or something like that, a waxing studio, you still have to operate outside, and that's just not feasible.
Right. Now, here we go. Here we go. This is where I begin to say that I don't think the governor's because it's becoming arbitrary, is it not? Here we got Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, skulking around inside of a hair salon, maskless, by the way, you know, sneaking around. I mean, is this what we're reduced to? And she's not the only one sneaking around getting her hair done. You got to get your hair done. Someone's got to cut it.
There's a lot of speakeasies popping up. As you know, look, you raised a really good point a second ago, though, about you know, the point that it's arbitrary. Yes, autocratic rule, I think, is inherently arbitrary, and that's in part because however well-intentioned the governor is when he's making up the rules, the fact is it's not done in a deliberative, open-ended process, the transparent process that will yield you know, the better results. I'm not saying that the legislature does some arbitrary things from time to time, but if it's just one man or woman making the decisions, it's going to be more arbitrary. And the other point you raised a second ago, which I thought was really a good one, is that Well, we do have a system, by the way, that, you know, the Constitution is one of the things it's sought to accomplish was to protect us against a centralized federal government. So those federalism issues are hugely important, but it also sought to divide government and to make sure that no one person or branch has too much power. And this is an issue that we're seeing with the emergency orders at the state level, but it's also something that we're seeing at the federal level. President Trump, you know, issued an executive order directing the agencies, federal agencies, to see if there was anything they could do to impose a moratorium on evictions. And CDC actually just came out with an order that is going to prohibit landlords from evicting residential tenants. I realize you guys have currently an emergency order in Florida prohibiting residential evictions, but you know, that's coming from the federal level. I will say there's no basis in the law for CDC to be issuing that kind of order.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think even if the governor you know, issues an order like that, as you said, this lets a lot of this puts a lot of landlords in trouble. Where are they going to? What are they going to do? And we've had, I think, some of your compatriots come on and talk about it. You know, what are they going to do? Are we ignoring the landlord? Why don't you stay the hell out of it? Allow the landlords to work their magic with their own tenants. They understand that there's a pandemic. They understand that maybe some of their tenants have a little bit of a problem scraping together, and they'll work something out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, you know, we at Pacific Legal Foundation, you know, are looking very seriously at those sort of emergency orders at the state level. Just this week, we initiated a lawsuit against the city of Seattle for a moratorium on evictions there. And we're going to continue to, you know, try to enforce these, you know, the separation of powers, because, you know, ultimately that's very hugely important if we're concerned with preserving individual liberty, then we ought to be very concerned about enforcing these structural limitations on the powers of government and limiting the power of any one man or woman, I think, is especially important.
Final question to you, Luke. Do you think the legislatures in any of the states are indeed bucking their government, their governor, and complaining about his authority?
Yeah, some of them are trying. The North Carolina General Assembly is a very good example. They passed a couple bills trying to reopen gyms and bars with what they thought were very reasonable, you know, restrictions to, you know, safeguard the public, but at the same time allow those businesses to reopen. And the governor, Roy Cooper, has vetoed those enactments and has continued to assert emergency powers. And again, there's no end in sight. You know, I think we were all willing to, you know, give a little bit of, you know, understanding to what they were trying to do at the very outset, but we're now 6 months in, and, you know, Newsom on Friday said he's going to continue to micromanage the economy through his emergency orders until there's a vaccine, and I pray that there's a vaccine very soon.
Yeah,
but the reality is we don't know if and when that's going to happen.
My goodness me. Well, I'll tell you what, this is a very, very interesting and important topic. I really appreciate your coming on, Luke, and talking with us about this. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Luke Wake. All right, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, is Donald Trump lawyering up in case the election does not go his way? And why is he telling North Carolinians to vote twice? We're going to talk about all of that with the proprietor of the only poll that matters, the Barber Poll. We both been sound asleep. Wake up, listen, see, and weep.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Labor Day Friday. Or should we say the Friday before Labor Day? Delighted to have you with us. By the way, we're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the Tantalk Radio Network, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And if you can't listen to us live, you can listen to us in podcasts, thanks to Big Ed. Go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and look for the podcast. Well, the Trump campaign bracing for the possibility of a protracted legal battle in the event of a contested election. Now, you know, Trump's been talking about whether or not we're going to get a fair count. Everybody's now thinking about that. Campaign General Counsel Matthew Morgan says that the campaign is urging active and retired attorneys and even law students to volunteer on this. Holy Toledo. You know, visions of the 2000 presidential election, remember how long that thing lasted before we finally figured out that Bush had beaten Gore? So what do you think, Andrew? Is all this talk regarding voting by Trump, is it kind of getting into the craw and the brains and kind of, is Trump just kind of doing this to kind of rattle the cages? What do you think?
No, Paul. Because, you know, look at it, voting by mail. The best test to see how good this would work is you need to put $500 in an envelope and mail it to yourself, cash. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you ever heard them tell you never put cash in the mail?
Yes, I have.
Well, why do they tell you that?
Because
they lose it.
Someone will steal it.
They'll steal it. They'll lose it. Let's face it. These postal workers aren't the most honest people in the world. We've seen them dumping ballots into dumpsters and all kinds of things, Paul. You know, and Trump says, go check on him. You know what? He's right. Because they're going to try anything they can, Paul, to steal this election.
What?
They wanted to go past January 20th. Remember the chads, like you were saying, in 2000. Oh, the chad was just hanging there. That
yes.
Don't count.
It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. And they're trying to do it again, Paul, because if they can get this to last to count till January the 20th, then Pelosi's going to step in.
What do you think about Trump talking, you know, the North Carolina voting is beginning by mail now for the November 3rd election. And Trump is saying, now, look, you know, go ahead and do your mail-in and then go over to the poll to get in line and go up there to the table and ask for a ballot.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
How can they start voting already, right? Let's start early vote. They haven't even had a debate, Paul.
I know. You're right.
It's a bunch of bull crap.
Yeah, I agree. But believe it or not, North Carolina kicks it off this early. I don't know why.
I mean, they have a Democrat governor, don't they? Doesn't North Carolina have a Democrat governor,
yes,
Paul?
I think they
did.
Oh,
my goodness.
But that's not a new rule. It's been in effect for a while. This is just the way they work things there. Actually, it says here the ballots are now being mailed. It's not like they're being mailed back in.
But what did they hire, Valpak, to send out ballots to everybody? Because that's the way I understand it. Everybody gets ballots. People have gotten three or four ballots this year.
Yeah,
what the hell are they doing, Paul?
You know, you get a ballot in with your house cleaning coupon. That you know,
right.
In Valpak. Oh, there it is. There's my ballot. You're funny. Goodness.
I mean, let's be real, Paul. They're trying everything they can.
Okay.
Look at Ann Pelosi. I got set up.
I tell you something.
You're trying to set up the election.
I thought that.
You better realize this woman's father was in the mob big time. He was a Don. She's got experience at this stuff.
I tell you what, this is the greatest comeuppance video I have ever seen. Here she comes. Do you notice she's waddling along? And she has to step down. You know, I mean, she looks decrepit. And she's walking like a duck.
She's 80 freaking years old.
Huh?
She's 80 freaking years old.
No.
She needs to go to a nursing home or assisted living or something.
What a hypocrite. What a hypocrite.
I mean, that hair salon wasn't set up for the handicapped. She needed handrails on both sides where she was going. They needed to turn her into OSHA there.
Right? You're right. But what a hypocrite. And then she blames the hair salon owner. Can you believe it? She blames the hair salon. Here's my first question. Nancy, did the hair salon owner call you to set up the appointment, or did you call the hair salon to set up the appointment?
To a lot of people, they say she got confused. She thought the sign said saloon.
That's true. I was wondering. I did think I saw a flask in her left hand as she was coming down.
But, Paul, let me tell you something. This stuff with this election, it's ridiculous. Look at Biden. He had to bus in 200 people in Pennsylvania the other day to listen to him.
Yeah, and, you know, he's got that mask on when he's talking, as Ed was saying.
I told you about that. That's because they got him dubbed in somewhere else. He's just moving his lips behind him.
I think there is a guy behind the curtain that said that.
Remember that guy, Rich Little, who was able to imitate everybody's voice?
He was great.
They hired him. Is he still alive?
You know, he might be.
You know, that guy was able to imitate anybody's
he
voice.
Could.
If you remember correctly.
He could do Nixon, Johnson, and all those people. He was great.
I bet you he's doing Biden.
As a matter of fact, I think that is Rich Little who's portraying Biden from time to time. Did you notice? They're about the same height. All you got to do is put a little pancake makeup and silver hair on top of Rich Little.
Yeah, well, look at these polls. They come up with, Trump, he's edging up to Biden. Anybody that can even put a Biden sign in front of their house is showing their stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing they lack total common sense in this world.
It seems, if I might switch to some of the protesting and violence. And by the way, federal authorities have killed this guy that they were seeking, who had killed one of the, I guess you would call it, the conservative demonstrators.
They knocked him off last night.
And they knocked him off last night. So here we go, back and forth, and all of these different little, whatever you want to call it, powder kegs in different cities are popping up. I think all of this lends itself towards Trump winning the election again. I don't care how the media tries to spin this.
Oh, look at Rochester. They made national news, buddy. My brother Angelo, he's pacemaking. He's going crazy.
I wonder about Angelo. You know, our guy there up in Rochester, who we talk with from time to time. I wonder what he thinks about that.
Well, I think we're going to have to let him talk to you on Monday and let you know, because he was rattling off last night big time.
I bet he was. So we got all of these things going on. I think all of them, quite frankly, are gearing towards reelecting Trump. I look at Kenosha. The people in Kenosha are it's unbelievable what the percentage of people are that are apparently behind Donald Trump in that city, based on all that's going on.
They showed one guy yesterday holding up a Biden sign when he was in Kenosha.
Really?
One person, Paul. I'm surprised it was that many.
At his own risk. And so we're getting closer and closer. We're going to have a debate. We've got a Fox News...
September the 29th.
We got a Fox News guy, Chris Wallace. He'll be doing one of them.
Oh, boy, and they couldn't do any better than that, huh?
Well, you know, it's interesting. He is from Fox News. I will give Chris Wallace credit. I do think he will ask some tough questions of Biden. I think we could have gotten worse. Let's just put it that way, Andrew. We could have gotten worse.
I would have liked to have seen like Tucker Carlson.
Well, you know who I like? I like Brett Baer from Fox. I think he would be a
Yeah, Brett Baer is good.
I think he's good.
He's good.
Now, another guy that they're going to have doing one of the debates, and it's actually going to be a town hall format, is Steve Scully. Now, most people don't know him, but I do. He works at C-SPAN. He interned under Joe Biden, and he's going to be the moderator of one of the debates. Now, nobody's going to talk much, I don't think, about Steve Scully being basically working for Joe Biden in his younger years as an intern. I think that had I known that and I was selecting a moderator, I don't think I'd select Steve Scully.
Of course you wouldn't, but you're not the one doing it. The people that are doing it, they're just trying to set things up. But they got to realize that, like Chris Wallace, Trump tore him apart a couple times already on his own show.
Well, I'll say one thing.
What are you going to do to him to a debate?
I'll say one thing, and that's the thing about Trump. He will go on, he'll sit down, and he'll know that a lot of times he's getting somebody that may not like him or may not agree with his politics. I have yet to see Biden want to sit down with somebody. I'd like to see him sit down with either Chris Wallace or Brett Baer. They would be fair with him. What do you think?
They would ask him if he brushed his teeth this morning.
You think so? You don't think they would ask? Listen.
No, did you brush your teeth this morning really good?
So you don't trust them to ask some tough questions?
Oh, Paul, come on. They may as well let Donna Brazel do it. She'd probably give him Biden the questions already.
Well, she would. That's the thing. She gave them to Hillary.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of bull crap. I think it's ridiculous that they're having a debate after the first, or they're sending
out ballots
already.
Well, they're mailing out the ballots, but I don't think most of the people are going to send them back right away.
No, you're probably right, but beside the fact, I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, how many years have they been doing elections? All of a sudden, an election's been a turmoil since 2000.
And
you know?
I just don't see. I mean, if you can get people to go into a grocery store and social distance and wear masks, why can't you get them to go to the voting booth and do the same thing?
Well, why do they even need masks anymore? If Nancy Pelosi can get her hair done,
that's
they can
true.
Go vote, believe me.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, let's be real. Huh? She set the president, and she's got the nerve. Oh, I thought this. You make the laws, lady.
I know.
You make the laws. You don't know what's going
no,
on.
She's a hypocrite.
Go try your own freaking hair.
Right.
But she can't lift her arm up high enough to do it no more.
Probably not. Hey, speaking of New York, which you talked about Rochester, Governor Cuomo said that he would not allow indoor dining to return in New York City unless they had a huge task force of police devoted to enforcing social distancing. Yeah, that's going to work. So in other words, you're not going to open the restaurants in New York? What are you, nuts?
No, I think it'd be great. They could eat in the snow outside. You know, if we get 10 below zero, they won't have to use ice cubes in their drinks. They'll be saving a lot. You know, give the people a shovel. They can shovel around their table before they sit down. This guy's a moron.
I tell you what.
I can't believe the people vote for this idiot.
Well, I'm wondering how many of these mayors, you know, like in this case, de Blasio, of course. But, you know, de Blasio and Cuomo don't even get along. Well, I can understand it. I think it's hard to get along with either one of them, but they don't get along. Then you got the mayor of Portland. Why they don't recall the mayor of Portland, Oregon, I just don't understand. But they are trying to recall the mayor of Seattle, Washington. Did you know that?
I heard rumors about that.
Yeah.
They've been trying to recall Newsom in California too.
Yes,
for how long?
Indeed, they
should.
It
don't work, Paul. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, you're right, man. It's possible.
Nothing's going to happen. It's just like all the talk with the Durham investigation. We've been hearing talk going on in 4 years. About an investigation, you know? Nothing's ever going to happen there either. They got proof of everything. They know they got the stuff. What's going to happen? Nothing.
So you don't think there's going to be any indictments before November the 3rd's election?
You know, there should be. There should have been indictments last year. Okay? And they don't. They let it go by. You know, I'm losing a lot of faith in a lot of politicians. The only one I got faith in is Trump.
Yeah. So November 3rd comes and goes. Donald Trump beats Joe Biden. I'm going to put you on the spot. What percentage of the total vote
will he get, or if you'd rather do electoral vote. But I'm just curious, do you think he'll get more of the total vote than Biden?
Paul, the last election he got 64 million votes, if I'm correct. I believe I am.
Yeah, and supposedly Hillary Clinton had about 3 million more popular, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm staying now with the record that Trump has got behind him, the way I hear people talking, I'm saying he's going to hit 80 million votes.
Whoa! Well, if he hits 80 million votes, it'll be a landslide.
Paul, how can it not be, Paul? You tell me, what agenda does the Democrat Party have?
You'll have to just excuse me a moment. I'm writing this down. 80 million votes.
There's nothing there, is
Ed,
there?
Make a note of, put a little marker on the tape, Ed. We got an 80 million vote count. Well, actually, I'm kind of teasing you, but that's a very, that would be interesting, would it not? 80 million votes if he got that many.
Paul, I mean, well, let's be real.
If
Trump got 64 million in the last election, right?
Yes.
And Hillary says she got 3 million more, so say she got 67 million.
Yes.
Okay. What's putting another 20 million on top of Trump's 64 million from the last election? Look at the guy's track record. People are looking at this, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right.
I don't see a big deal of 20 million people more. I mean, he won the election the way he did with no track record.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the track record he's got, Paul.
But this will include, this will include, by the way, his win in California, correct?
I tell you what, I keep hearing people talking, I keep doing reading. People in California are fed up.
I think you're right. Actually,
people
he will get,
fed
I'll guarantee
they're
you,
fed
he,
up.
I will guarantee you this, he'll get more votes from California than any other state, but they've got 31 million people there too, so.
Yeah, but people are really fed up, Paul. You can hear people talking, you've got your people, and the perfect example where I work in my shop is there's a girl in one of the other businesses. Oh, she used to talk to me and friendly all the time, but she knows I love Trump, and she just hates him.
Oh, really?
Oh, and I just sit there and laugh. I went to work yesterday, and I see the bumper sticker on her car. Any Christian that votes for Trump, an angel loses their wings.
Oh, you're kidding.
I had to get my big Trump and put him right outside my door to let her look at him all day. These people
are nutcases,
Paul. They really are. And the people that are backing Biden like crazy, how can you? Where's your brain?
First of all, if you're a Christian and the Democrats are for abortion, the killing of unborn children, how can you support a Democrat? That's the first thing I would ask.
Not only that, look at the statues they tear down. Come on.
Yep.
They were tearing down the statues of Jesus Christ everywhere. These
crazy
people are nutcases. They take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Half of them are atheists.
Wild. Andrew, it is such a pleasure. I hope you have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. We're going to take a break on Monday, but I'm going to be talking with you again on Tuesday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good weekend.
And if they want to hire me to imitate Biden, I can do a great job.
Oh!
Watch, I'll talk about my hairy legs.
Go ahead.
I got hairy legs.
How's that?
Wow, you do sound,
good.
It did
it's
sound
good.
Like
I'm
him.
I'm going to hire you for the mask.
It sounded exactly like him. Wow, Ed, I'm impressed. I'm not that impressed.
You guys have a good weekend.
All right, thank you very
Talk
much.
To you later.
Bye,
bye-bye.
Andrew. Okay, we're going to take our short break. When we come back, the most hated state in the country.
Sugar. Oh, honey, honey. You are my candy girl. You got me wanting you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Final segment on a Friday, Labor Day weekend of Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. A new tax on millionaires, a 22.5% gas tax hike, which brings the total increase to 250% additional tax in 4 years, has made New Jersey, the state that more people are leaving than any other state. They have an outbound track record now that supersedes the other 50 states, followed by their neighbor New York in second place, and then Illinois. So they've got a graph here that shows about 69% exiting with 31% entering the state of New Jersey. That's pretty bad. And here you go, taxes. Certainly, it might not be the only reason, but it could be the major reason and one of the biggest reasons. And a lot of these people are the ultra-wealthy residents that are leaving for more hospitable places and taking their money with them. And that's so common now, is it not, with these high tax? It's not just, I mean, Connecticut is up there, New York, we mentioned, a lot of those northeastern states, Massachusetts. I mean, what are they thinking when they continue to raise taxes, especially on the wealthier people? You're going to have all of the brain trust leaving the state. All right, anyway, before we do our top 10, I want to ask Big Ed, he's our sports expert, about what the Lightning have a chance to win the Stanley Cup, Ed. They're waiting to play in the semifinals, are they not?
Waiting is a good word. They're getting a lot of rest, too, because the Stars, the Avalanche, they'll play this afternoon at 4 o'clock. That series is tied, so the winner of this will meet the Lightning.
Go ahead.
I'm in the wrong one.
That's all right. It's the Islanders and Flyers.
Flyers, right.
Yeah.
That is tied 3-3.
So we got to wait for that one to end.
Yes.
And are the Islanders and Philly playing today? I guess they are probably.
I think it's tomorrow.
Oh, okay. In the meantime, is Stamkos going to come back for the Lightning, do you think, at all?
Islanders are tomorrow at 7:30. We were talking about this morning that possibly he left the bubble, but there was no confirmation on it. And being how there's no media allowed there, he could be skating and nobody would even know.
Yeah.
Right now.
What about Kucherov? He's their other big star.
He'll be fine. He's got, what, 3-4? He'll have 5 days off.
So he should be back for sure, right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, go Lightning. All right. It is time for our top 10. Ed, you got to get over on the drums. I think this is an interesting one. And by the way, we've been doing a lot of Hollywood movie things. We're not doing it this time. We have one that I think is very interesting. It is the top 10 fastest growing jobs in the U.S. It comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they have compiled the top 10. What we have done is we've taken those 10 and we've ranked them based on the salaries. So the number one of the top 10 will have the highest paying salary, all right? So here we go. Number 10, home health and personal care aides. Home health and personal. Boy, that's a big one these days, mm-hmm. a lot of, and especially here in Florida. The salary, $25,280. All right. Number 9, would you believe a solar photovoltaic installer?
Oh, solar's getting huge.
Yeah.
It's getting very advanced, too.
Yeah. Is the price, though, still pretty expensive to put those things
on? It's coming down, and the fact that if you can live totally off the grid, it well pays for itself. So in some cases, you even sell your power back to the power company.
Very interesting. They get paid $44,890. Mm-hmm. Wow. Number 8. This is kind of close. I don't know. Wind turbine technicians.
That goes along with solar, too.
Yeah. Okay. the median pay, $52,910.
And the solar thing's a hot job, too, because you got to be on a roof, just like a roofer.
True. Good Lord. Down here in Florida, can you imagine middle of July doing that? Wow. Number seven. Well, back to medical. Physical therapist assistants. So the ones that work in those physical therapy places that, you know, you come in and every twice a week you get your arm fixed, you know. Anyway, the median pay, $58,790. All right. Number six. As we stay in the medical area, occupational therapy assistants, okay? Now, there is physical therapy and occupational. Occupational is when they teach you the basics, you know, being able to get out of a wheelchair, go to the bathroom, things that, you know, as opposed to exercising, this, that, and the other thing. Okay, number five.
Ouch.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I didn't give you the salary for the occupational therapy assistant, $61,510. All right, number five is a statistician. Statistician. They get $91,000 median pay. It's kind of accounting work, I guess. Number four. I'm not sure I know what this is, Ed. Information security analyst. I guess it would be like
web stuff.
Web stuff and making sure it's safe.
Yeah.
Your info? Okay. $99,730. That's pretty good. Wow. Number three. Back to health. Medical and health services managers. Medical and health services managers. $101,000 is the median pay there. Number two. Nurse practitioners. That's who you see these days when the doctor won't see.
Right.
And we've talked about
the
this before. And it's more and more you're seeing the nurse practitioner and not the doctor. I'm not so sure it's a good idea. Anyway, they make $110,000 median. Mm. Okay. Okay, Ed.
I have no idea, but I'll stay in the medical field.
I would.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Number one is physician assistant. More even than a nurse practitioner. A physician assistant makes $112,260. That's the one that wanders in. It's not the nurse practitioner. It's the one that checks, I think, you know, does all of the, checks your pulse and your heart rate and this and that and takes your blood, that kind of thing.
I thought maybe you just want to get this doctor coffee and sharpens the pencils.
Well, she does that too. That's where she gets the extra money. Anyway, thank you so much. We're going to take Monday off. We will be back on Tuesday. Have a very safe Labor Day. And remember, freedom works.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. The unemployment rate fell sharply last month. It was 10.2%.